Page 136, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Introit. All the earth shall worship you, and sing praises to you, O God. They shall sing praises to your name, to your name, O Most High. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. All the earth shall sing praises to you. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All the earth shall worship you, and sing praises to you, O God. They shall sing praises to your name, O Most High. Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Who takes away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Who sits at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy. For you only are holy, you only are the Lord. You only, O Christ, with the Holy Spirit, are most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and earth, mercifully hear the supplications of your people and grant us your peace all the days of our life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from the 33rd chapter of Exodus. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, you, your people, and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on that rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This is the word of the Lord. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The epistle is from the 12th chapter of Romans. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our sermon text is from Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our baptism into Christ, we were united into the one holy Christian church. And that means we share in one common Christian faith, as is taught and confessed in the common creeds. We all hold to the same set of beliefs which we have been taught by God in His Word. And the center of that belief, as we know, is that we are saved by grace through faith in the atonement of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, we confess we are all one in Christ. This oneness that we share is professed, well, as you know, in the Lord's Prayer, as it is addressed to our Father. St. Paul speaks of this equality in which we share in Galatians 3, 27 and 28. For as many as you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, there are at least two differences that we recognize within the body of Christ. In Romans 12, verse 3, St. Paul says that not everyone has the same measure of faith. Now, we need to understand that the word faith can refer to the content or the doctrine. For example, when I say, let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, or faith can refer to an individual's trust, the hand of faith or belief which clings to the content of faith. Yes, I have belief or faith in that content. The Athanasian Creed actually mentions both of these instances when it concludes with these words, this is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved. This is the Catholic faith, refers to the content of the Athanasian Creed, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, refers to the individual's faith or trust in that doctrine which is professed. Now, although each Christian has the same creed, that is, we all trust in that Christian faith, we don't have the same measure of faith. By this we acknowledge, well, that some have a strong faith and some have a weaker faith. We're talking about our individual trust. Learning from St. Paul in his epistles, I would definitely conclude that he had a stronger faith than I. Now, you too might recognize the strong faith in other Christians as, well, they bear up under their affliction. You might see someone else's strong faith as they are patient or as they are loving toward, well, those who attack you, attack them. There are those who we watch as they do not worry, or they freely give up their time and their money to those in need, and you might look and say, they have a stronger faith. St. Paul speaks about this difference in verse 3. He says, today's epistle, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Though there is a difference in a measure of faith, we need to remember, first of all, that salvation is not dependent upon a certain level of faith. Strong or weak, any faith in Jesus Christ saves. Now, if faith were a human decision or a commitment by man, and it is not, then we would have to make sure that we had performed it to a certain acceptable level. And that is just not the case. The strength of faith does not save. But even faith the size of a mustard seed saves, because it is connected with the Savior, Jesus Christ. An individual's faith is a gift of God. St. Paul says that it was the grace of God given to me. So all of us confess that our faith is a gift of God. We didn't earn it, nor did we deserve it. If I have faith, then God worked it in me. If I have a strong faith, it is not the result of my effort. If I have a strong faith, I am not to look down upon others. If I have a weak faith, I am not to despair, but ask God, who gives out his gifts generously. St. Paul says that we ought to think soberly about the strength of faith, recognizing that we cannot boast about it or take credit for it. One day we might be strong, and another day we might consider our faith to be barely there, but any faith saves. To summarize what I have said thus far, we are all one in Christ, we all confess a common Christian faith, and we all believe or trust in that content. Some have a stronger or weaker faith, but the difference should not be used to exalt the strong upon a pedestal, nor should we look down upon those who are weak. St. Paul reminds us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. That's the first distinction. There is a second distinction, another, that is to be acknowledged within the one body in Christ. We have, Paul says, gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Each and every Christian does not have the same gifts. Now, I'm not talking about faith, small or great, but about the skills and the abilities which we possess. Some have the gift of helping, while others have the gift of leadership and organizing. Some have the gift of preaching, while others have the gift of singing. Some are generously blessed, and thus they give liberally. Some have received a cheerful spirit, and thus they use it to encourage others. Now, once again, let me make it clearly known, we are not saved by the presence or the absence of certain skills or abilities, nor are some Christians better or worse because they possess more or less of certain gifts. St. Paul says this, "For as we have many members in one body, but the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body of Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Some of these gifts, as we often say, may come naturally. By this we mean that it takes very little effort to use the gift, and thus it is maybe even quite enjoyable to exercise it. So example, the extrovert needs little encouragement to attend church functions in order to love their neighbor. The bookworm finds it very, well, easy to study theological writings. The servant loves to be busy helping with the work. But some of our gifts require constant exhortation and encouragement because we do not readily seek out those opportunities. We need to be told what God wants in order that we might do it. Put aside your complaining and make God happy. He has placed us in this office or vocation, and thus we are negligent if we don't do it. Moreover, we are not to use our own perceived lack as an excuse. Some of these gifts may have been cultivated by God before you acquired your vocation. That is, you may have learned your finances, and now you've been elected to be church bookkeeper. Well, so be it. However, many of the skills and abilities which God provides are given after the vocation. The mother learns how to love her children after they are born. The husband learns to love his wife after becoming married. The pastor learns to feed the flock with the word of God after he has been called and ordained. St. Paul says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Just as a strong or weak faith is according to the grace of God, so these gifts which we profess are also given to us by grace. One Christian is not better or worse because they possess different gifts. We didn't earn our place in the church because of these skills and abilities. In various places, St. Paul uses the analogy of the body. The eye, the ear, and the foot have different functions. They all work together in the body. So we who are the body of Christ should use our differing gifts for the benefit of the church. To summarize, once again, we are all one in Christ, and we all confess a common Christian faith. We all believe or trust in it. However, the skills and abilities which we have, gifts of God, they differ. These gifts differ among Christians. So we are different. Now, St. Paul's purpose in teaching this, he says, is that we use our gifts. Use our gifts for the support and building up of the one body in Christ. Though we have a differing measures of faith and differing gifts, we are one body. The body of Christ needs to work together in love. Beginning with verse 9, St. Paul gives off a rapid-fire list of imperatives for his hearers concerning their life in the church. Listen. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Continue steadfast in prayer. Bless those who persecute. Bless and do not curse. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Do not avenge yourselves. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Bang, bang, bang. It's a daunting, daunting list. And it may seem overwhelming. Nevertheless, Paul says and knows that God, who has begun a good work in us in our baptism, that he will continue to work in us. He'll continue to bring it to completion. And so each one performs the function, and then the body works together as the Lord intended. St. Paul's exhortation is that the members of Trinity Lutheran Church as well might, well, do their function. We too have received differing measures of faith and differing gifts, and we need to use our God-given gifts. Concerning St. Paul's long list, we find that it begins and it ends with a similar theme. Note the words good and evil. He begins in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. He concludes the chapter with the words of verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The whole list of Christian imperatives is simply telling Christians to lovingly do good and not evil. Lovingly do good and not evil. Today, we see hate. Hate being used as an excuse for hurting and harming our neighbor. We see friends and citizens torn apart by differences, skin color, economic situation, philosophy. There are many who are using their vocation or position to lord it over others. They use the strong, use their position to punish the weak. Each one seeks to revenge the evil they received by returning evil for evil. Common respect, simple hospitality for others, and that is the thing by which society functions, are being tossed aside. Evil is knowingly being used as a means to acquire what they might say is a good end. I have not been given the vocation of a political office in order that I might maintain law and order or protect body and possessions in a free country. Others, they must deal with that. However, I have been placed as the pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church, and even if the whole world goes crazy, we will not behave like the world. St. Paul says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are the church. We will not follow the world's leadership, and we will not be conformed to the world's way of doing things. We are members of the one body with Jesus Christ as the head. We will lead lives of love toward our fellow believers. Though we have differing measures of faith, this fact will not tear us apart. We will use whatever faith we have to encourage the weak. We will use whatever differing gifts God has given us to serve the body of Christ. In a world that has gone crazy, we will not be tempted to use their means or their methods. Good, not evil, will be our way. Listen to St. Paul for how Christians are to act among themselves. Of course, we speak the truth, and we never approve of sin, but we are merciful to our fellow believers. Just as we overlook and gently restore our family members, there is a gentleness which we show to our fellow sinners in a stark contrast to that which is hate or threats or the violence of this world. The perseverance that we have is that we might seek time for repentance and restoration. St. Paul says of us, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. That's how we deal with our fellow believers. And now listen to how Paul says Christians are to act to those outside the church, even to those who persecute us. He says about this that we don't leave behind our good ways. We don't pick up their evil methods. Christians don't seek revenge, and we don't seek to do evil that good might result. St. Paul says this, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Rather, give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. And St. Paul concludes with the words, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Doing good, not evil, is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You've been united with Christ in your baptism. You've been given a measure of faith and a differing gift. Paul says, so let us use them. Within the church, we lovingly function with the gifts that God has given us. And even in the world, our love is not to be left behind. Overcome evil with good. Always speak the truth, no matter to whom you are speaking, whether friend or foe. That's not hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The Offertory, page 143. We stand.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Almighty God, with confidence we come before you, knowing that according to your boundless mercy, you both hear and answer even before we speak. You are the source of all good and every blessing, and it is by your holy will that we receive your blessings with constant thanksgiving. Bless us, your children, by continuing to give us your Spirit, that we may continue to rely solely upon your grace. Let us pray to the Lord. We ask that your people would, through the hearing of your word and the reception of these sacramental signs, that they would firmly believe in your Son. Give all pastors in Christ, including our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, the strength and fortitude to teach the people, to do everything which Jesus has commanded, to abhor evil and to love that which is good. Send your Holy Spirit upon our director, Keeley, our teachers and staff, that the children attending our center would believe in Jesus, our righteousness. Bless the mothers and fathers and the children, that they rejoice in God's gifts of marriage and in its fruits, children. Let us pray to the Lord. O God Most High, you rule the kingdoms of this world and you give governance to those whom you will. Grant that all in authority, especially our President Donald, our President-elect Joe, our Governor J.B., and our Mayor Steve, that they recognize that you have set them as rulers and governors over us, and that we, considering whose authority they bear, obediently honor them. We give you thanks for the blessing of life. Lead all people everywhere to see your work in the creation of life, to consider human life as sacred. Help us put to an end the 48 years of the legalized murder of unborn in the mother's womb. Protect and defend all to whom you give life until that day when you take their life from them again. Lead our nation to reject this evil path. Provide the comfort of full forgiveness for the repentant and those who still grieve for their lost children. Defend and protect our military personnel, those who are scattered throughout the world, especially Danny, Jason, and Blake. Protect our police officers, especially Alex and Daniel, from harm and danger. O Lord, you are the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak. Look upon the tribulation and distress of those affected by the coronavirus. Comfort those who have lost loved ones. Provide care for those infected. And calm the worries of the timid, so that in their necessities they may observe and receive your manifold help and comfort. And for those who are discouraged because of a lack of employment, in your mercy raise up opportunity for business and work, that in peace and thanksgiving all people may earn and eat the bread of contentment. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, provide for our shut-in Carolyn, for our elderly Violet and Pradell. Also, we ask them, for those of various needs, that you too would provide for them, for Caitlin and Jade, Kevin, Linda, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Tony, Gibb, for Shirley, also for Priscilla, who is now in Heron. Bless also the students as they return, for Jonathan, Kirsten, Alexis, Sarah, Benjamin, Jacob, and Ashley. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you. Up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And now we praise you that you sent us your only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion as a man, you manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to serve you constantly. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.